the last few weeks we've been discussing how to deal with difficult people. Today we're going to get to the heart of the matter. Because if I think of all the things that make dealing with people difficult, there's one central issue, one thing that makes it many times simply impossible, and that is our own human limitations. I want to talk to you about a few of our limitations this morning. The fact of the matter is that there's not one of us in this room today, myself included, that has an unlimited supply of patience. There's not anyone in this room who doesn't have trouble overlooking the hurts that other people do to us, do we? They hurt. They're painful. If you're like me, even though I may not say things, my mind is busy devising schemes of how to get back at people. Let me give you an example. This is when I was young. I don't think this way anymore. When I was about 12 years old, I played the trumpet. And I was in a small little community school in Iowa. And because they didn't have enough trumpet players in the senior high band, they took me out of the junior high band, put me in the senior high band. I didn't mind that too bad because when I was 12, I always liked older girls. So that would be kind of neat, you know, being in the band with all the older girls. Well, the problem was I didn't get to sit by the older girls. I had to sit by the older guys. And this one particular guy, his name was Steve Johnson. Never forget his name. That was his name. And he used to sit by me. He was 16, but he was a huge 16. He was really big 16. And he was your classic moron. You know? He's the kind of guy who would make fun of my name all the time. Darling, you know, that's a real fun name to have fun with. And I'd be playing, lifting up my trumpet, play the song, and he'd hit me real hard in the ribs. Or he'd reach down, I'd be reaching for something, and he'd grab my leg and squish it to death, you know. Every day this happened, we had band, never stopped. And I remember, as I lay in bed at night, I started devising this wondrous scheme to cream this guy. See, you have these trumpet cases. And they're kind of oval, like this kind of, mine was kind of oval, and has this handle. I used to dream of this moment of valor. As we'd be walking to the bus, and he'd come up beside me, and I'd act real friendly. And all of a sudden, before he could do anything, I'd take it and wham, into the midsection, wham, under the chin, and wham, into the face. It'd be dead meat. And I used to think that way. Now, as we get older, we realize we can't carry out those schemes, or we'll end up in jail. Or in court with a lawsuit. So we figure out better ways, like, you know, we gossip about them, we tear them down behind their back, or we just learn to fight good with our mouth. But we have human limitations, don't we? It's much easier to think of ourselves first than other people. I guess the way to simply crystallize all of this is to say this. Our love, human love, is very limited. And it's very conditional. If you're nice to me, I'm going to be nice to you. If you're kind to me, easy, I'll be kind to you. Let me give you an example of two situations. Think how we would react in these situations. You've got about $2,000. You're going to go out and spend it on a home entertainment center. You want a really nice home entertainment center. The stereo, the TV, the VCR, the CD, everything. And the cabinet to hold it on. I was talking to a friend the other day who was telling me that a friend of his has a cabinet system at home entertainment center. The cabinet alone was $10,000. They can get pretty expensive, can't they? But you got $2,000 to spend. You go into Best Buy Superstore, and you walk up, and you walk into the door, and up walks this wonderful salesperson, says, "How are you this morning?" He said, "Oh, I'm fine." He said, "Well, how can I help you today?" "Well, I'd like the home entertainment center." "Well, let me take you back to one of our salespeople, and they'll be glad to spend as much time with you as you need and help answer any questions that you might have." Back you go to the sales department. Salesperson sits you down in the chair, introduces himself and asks you your name, and says, "Well, how can I help you today?" "Well, I'm looking for a home entertainment center. And of course, there's a lot of variety out there. I don't know exactly what to get." So he begins to ask you a few questions to help you make the most of your $2,000. And then he says, well, how do you want it to be expensive or economical? Or, you know, what are you looking for? And you tell him, he says, well, here's a few ideas. At the end of that hour-long session, I'll tell you a little secret. It's not going to be too hard to part with your $2,000, is it? Now I'm going to give you another scenario. You walk into the same store. You've got your $2,000 to spend, and you've been promising the family this home entertainment center, and by golly, you're going to come home with one. You walk into the store, and you walk over to the information desk, and you notice the person's on the phone, so you kind of stand there. About 5 minutes goes by, about 10 minutes goes by. Excuse me, I was just wondering if you could tell me where the, you know, the home entertainment center stuff is. Hey, can't you see I'm on the phone? You know, I'm talking to a friend, and I have time for you right now. It wasn't very nice of you to interrupt me, by the way. You put your phone back in it. Well, excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you. So you go back into, and you start wandering the aisles. You wander around in the aisles, finally find the TV section, and you're standing there, of course, looking around, wanting someone to help you, and you notice three salespeople over here, and you walk over, and they're all standing there joking and drinking coffee. Excuse me. Yeah, what do you want? Well, I'd like a home entertainment center. I got some money to spend, and I'm looking for one. Well, we're busy right now. We're talking about the game last night. Is that all right? By now, if you're me, and I won't say you're me, but let's talk about human limitations. I know for sure, no matter what I do or don't say, I'm not spending $2,000 at Best Buy. I can tell you that right now. And I can tell you something else about you. You won't either. You're going to go, if these are the way these jerks do business, then I'm out of here. What am I trying to illustrate? I'm trying to illustrate that we're kind to those who are kind to us. But when it comes to real life issues, to money in our pocket, I mean, can you imagine this? You go, well, hey, that's all right. Just take as much time as you need. I'll just sit right over here. And when you all are done, just let me know, and then we'll look at your equipment. So you sit over there, you know, an hour or two hours goes by, and you miss lunch, and you're already, you know, 3 hours late for work. Oh, no problem, no problem. Just take all the time you want. Walk over here. Mr. Darling, can I help you? Oh, sure. Well, I'm just looking at your home entertainment center. I wonder if you can help me. Well, it's my lunch hour right now. Oh, hey, no problem. Go take your lunch hour. I'll be here when you get back. That isn't us, is it? See, we don't deal in that kind of love. We don't deal in that kind of understanding. We don't deal in that kind of mercy because we're human beings. And we have human limitations. But if we could change those limitations, then we've got a whole new ballgame, don't we? If we can break the bonds of humanity, then we can soar where eagles soar. On eagles' wings, you see. So I would like to share with you the two ingredients that are going to be necessary in order for you to really do all that we've talked about in the last 3 weeks in order to make your life dynamic and successful. The first thing you need is divine love. You need a new source of love. Let me give you a verse in the Bible that illustrates the kind of love that God demonstrates to us. It's found in John, verse 16 of chapter 3, and it says this, "For God loved the world so much that He gave His Son." Now, there's an awful lot communicated by that verse, those simple little words. Those simple little words tell us, have you read the newspaper lately? Let me tell you what kind of a world we live in, just in case you haven't. I opened the newspaper the other day. Occasionally I go to McDonald's and it's my newspaper break. That's what I do. I go to McDonald's, I get a cheeseburger and fries and open the newspaper. And this time I wasn't able to finish my lunch. Because I read the front page story of a little boy whose father took him, poured kerosene on him, and lit him. And the little boy had third degree burns. He had to have all his fingers amputated. His father spent 8 years in prison. They're releasing him this week on probation. The little boy's scared for his life and so is his mother. And then they went on, paragraph after paragraph, of all the things that have happened. And I ask myself, how does God love this world that I live in? How? How does God send His Son, His only Son, to this planet for this, for the entire world. See, he did it for the entire world, not just you and me. The entire world, every man, woman, and child that's ever been born, including that father. I don't understand it. All I can say to you is this. God's love is a lot different than our love. See, ours is shallow and conditional and finite. God's is deep and broad and infinite. It's infinite. There's a description in 1 Corinthians 13 I'd like to share with you. It says, although I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm just a loud noise. And although I have faith to move mountains, and I understand all mysteries, but I don't have love, I am nothing. And though I give all that I have to the poor, and I sacrifice my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love endures long, suffers long, and is kind. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not get angry. Love is not proud. Love doesn't boast. Love isn't rude. Love doesn't seek its own way. Love doesn't keep track of the wrongs that others do to it. Love doesn't rejoice with evil. It rejoices with truth. It wants justice. And it loves what's right. Love believes under all circumstances. It hopes under all conditions. It perseveres without limit. It always trusts. It always believes. Love doesn't ever fail. Wow. I'll tell you, that's heavy love. Imagine what that love would do to your marriage. Imagine what that kind of love would do to our planet, to the entire world, if we possessed that kind of love. If we could break from our human limitation and possess that kind of love. You see, Jesus came for a twofold reason. Number one, Jesus came to show us how we could live. When Jesus said, love your enemies, he said, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That was what they were used to. He said, but I'm telling you something new. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wait a minute, Jesus. Hey, wait a minute. Now, how do you expect us to do that? That's the point. That's the point, my friend. You see, Jesus is different than you. Jesus was God. Jesus was God in the flesh. He could do it. He was trying to let you know, yes, there is a better way to live. And yes, I want you to live that way. But number two, you cannot live that way unless you have God. The book of 1 John says this. Dear children, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who does not love does not know God and has not been born of God. The second point is you must be born of God. You must have the source of love in order to love unconditionally, or you'll never be able to do it. You know, every one of us in this room, we have at least one thing in common. And that is we're all human. Every single one of us in this room, we didn't have any choice of who our parents were. We just had them, and guess what? They were all human parents. They were all human. And they passed right on to us a human limitation system. A way of life that is limited by the bonds of humanity. God came. Christ came to break the bonds of humanity. See, Christ came to give us the ability to soar where only God could go. That's why Christ came. That's why he died. So that he could finally conquer the human limitation system once and for all and allow us to experience a new birth. You know, the beautiful thing about God is this. You have the choice of who your spiritual father is. It's your choice. It's your opportunity. You maybe wished many times, oh, I wish I would have had a different mother and father. I wish this would have happened. I wish this would have happened. Wish no more, because you can have God for your daddy. You can have God for your father. But I want to share something with you, okay? A misconception. The misconception in society is this, that because I am religious, because I was raised in a religious home, that means God is my daddy. I'm sorry. to break the news to you. That's not true. It's not true. You see, at some point in your life, you have to decide, you know what, God, I need you. And let Him know that. Because God is not rude. You see, God won't force His way in on your life. He must be asked. When you ask, He comes. If you don't ask, He doesn't come. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens because you ask. And that's what Christ is all about. That's what everything we talk about is in Christianity, in the Bible, is all about. To have that rebirth experience between you and God. You see, everyone who is born of God loves. But that doesn't mean I use it all the time. It means we have a new potential to operate with unconditional love in our life, in our relationships. You might ask, how do I get that love? It's really very, very simple. You can get it right now, today, this morning. When I close this morning, you know the incredible thing about God is that God can hear a million voices all at one time. He can hear them all at once. See? God is so powerful. God is so great. And God wants to enhance your living. He wants to snap, I guess if you could call them chains. I believe they're chains. He just wants to cut them so you can go beyond the human experience and experience God in your life. The Bible tells us that if we just ask, He'll come. I don't think any one of us here this morning, if we step back away from ourselves, look at ourselves in the mirror, can honestly say, well, Mark, what you're saying about the human experience isn't true of me. I'm better than that. I'm more powerful than that. Well, then you think about it. Take some time to think about it. But I'm sure there's plenty of you here this morning who realize what I'm telling you is the truth. We're limited as humans. If you just ask Christ to come into your life this morning, He'll come into your life. And He'll never leave. And He'll change your life. You see, God comes and lives in you. He doesn't live in buildings. He lives in people. But it's not automatic. It's kind of like going to the car dealership buying a car. If you want mag wheels, air conditioning, four-wheel drive, leather seats, and all the other options, you've got to ask for them. They don't just come standard equipment. We didn't come standard equipment with God. See? That comes afterwards. You got the chance. Every single individual in this room, every single individual in the world has opportunity to know God. God wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you. So this morning, as I close this morning in prayer, if this is what you want, while I'm praying, you can pray to God at the same time. See, just God, what He's saying is true. I have human limitations. I need you. I need you to have successful relationships. I need you to have a successful marriage because I don't possess that kind of love. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I've been married 10 years and I've never been in a tougher relationship in my life. I love my wife. I think she's an extraordinary woman. But I got to tell you, marriage is not for wimps. And marriage defies human limitations. If you try to deal with it just with human limitations, I'll make you a little promise. It won't last. It will not make it. And even if you pretend you're making it, you and I both know you're not really making it. Because I've been there. It takes God and unconditional love, because there's days you wake up beside that person you marry, you think, I don't love this person. And what am I even doing here? I don't feel nothing for this person. And then we start to wonder, I don't feel anything. That's right. See, God's love goes beyond feelings. It's an enabling power that responds differently than we would normally respond. It looks at an individual, no matter what they've done, and says, I'm going to love you. I have the power to love you because God is in me to love you. Let's just close our heads, bow our heads this morning and pray. And I appreciate you being here for the series. I hope that you take these things to heart, and whether it's today or tomorrow or this afternoon or a week from now, I'd really encourage you to consider God and stop and consider the difference He can make in your life.